Right, how's everybody doing? Good? You guys doing all right? Thank you guys again for being here at Bethel. My name is Richard, and I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. Our lead pastor, Pastor Lance, is out of the country for the next few days. He's in the nation of India. He actually FaceTimed me this morning, and he is in actually the room where he was at. He was right below 150 orphans in an orphanage. They're going to be ministering to them today. It was about 6 o'clock at night where he was, and if you could keep him and his family in your thoughts and prayers while he's ministering, doing all kinds of great stuff over in India, that would be great. I've got a couple of things I wanted to talk to you guys about before I get in the heart of the message. The video that you just saw is our community group video, and you probably have, maybe if you were here last week, you saw one of these cards, but on the screen, the back of the card is going to be there for you. It simply tells you what our community groups are for this coming season at Bethel Community Church, and I just want to run those through, and you're going to have an opportunity to sign up for those at the end of the message today. The first one is Love and Marriage. My lovely wife and I are leading that group on Tuesdays. You're going to have one group on Tuesday, three groups on Monday, and two groups on Sunday to pick from. These are going to be large groups, lots of leaders in those groups to be able to help and facilitate the groups. And also one of the big pluses of being a part of this group is that childcare is paid for you by the church. We cover that. You don't have to worry about it. So Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. is going to be Love and Marriage. It's going to be a great group. On Mondays, three groups. Our women's group is going to be at 6:30. Our men's group is going to be at 6:30 as well. We put the men and the women's groups on the same night, so there's no excuse if a husband and wife, fiancés, they want to come together. They've got opportunity to do that if they want to. And also, Reboot is going to be on Mondays at 6 p.m. Reboot is combat recovery. That is to address the spiritual wounds of war. And they do a great job of that. That's going to be on Mondays at 6 p.m. And actually, that group, particular group, starts tomorrow night. If you're interested in that group, you can sign up on your card. And also on Sundays, we've got our parenting group, which is going to be Sundays at 5 p.m., and our Financial Peace University is going to be Sundays at 4 p.m. You can sign up with your card today. You can also go to bethelcommunity.church to sign up as well. A couple other things I just want to tell you really briefly is yesterday we had a great time. Actually, the last 2 days were amazing. We had a yard sale here, and we raised $4,200 at our yard sale. That's pretty good for a yard sale, don't you think? Now, our goal was $10,000. We're a little lofty in our goals. But I tell you what, 40% of a goal is better than 0% of a goal. And so all of the money that we raised, all the things that you donated were sold, and we gave all that money is going directly to our full-time missionaries at Austin Peay State University on the campuses of high school and middle school, and also our missionary that we serve we partner with in India, Pastor Kevin and his team in Mumbai in India. Last thing I wanted to go over really briefly with you before I start the message is that Pastor Travis mentioned that we're going to have an anniversary service on August the 30th, 11 years here at Bethel Community Church, and we're going to be having a picnic. And also, if you haven't been here very long, we have just renovated the space that you're in now. And so we've also added a 6,000-square-foot children's ministry building in the back. And so we want to invite everybody that we can to that for our grand, in a sense, our re-grand opening. So one of the things that we'd like to ask you guys to participate and help us out is today, next Sunday, when you're walking around the church, if you see something cool, you want to take a selfie, you want to take a group selfie, paste it on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you do, with a hashtag BCC Best Year, and invite your friends to our anniversary and come and help celebrate with us. That would be great if you guys could do that. And the last thing, I just want to get right into the message. We're going to open up our Bibles today. Hopefully you guys have a Bible. If you don't, it's on the screen. We're going to read the entire book of Philemon today. We're going to read an entire book of the Bible today. How many of you guys have done that in one setting before? Well, this is easy. It's only 25 verses. So we're going to go through this today for you. And before we get into that, I just want to tell you where we were last week. We started this new series called The Journey Continues here at Bethel Community Church. And last week, Pastor Lance and I both spoke about the starting point of a journey. And if you guys are new to Bethel, you've never been to any of our membership classes or anything like that, starting point is the place for you. We talked about how every journey begins somewhere. Some of you may have gotten born again at a church and you received Jesus at an early age, or for some of you, you were a knucklehead like me and it took you 25 years going to prison, all that kind of stuff before you found Christ. And I'll explain all that in a minute. And everybody's starting point is different. But the journey doesn't end where it begins. The journey starts with starting point, but the journey continues in community. And we're going to be talking the next couple of weeks about community. And then the journey ends by leaving a legacy. You know, my father had a stroke about a year ago, and it's had me thinking a lot about the legacy that he's going to leave in the next generation. And it had me thinking about my own life. And we're going to be talking about what kind of legacy do you want to leave over the next few weeks. One of the things I did as I was preparing for this message, I started reading some statistics about the world that we live in. And one of the things that I looked up was that 1,300 people every day are killed in our world. They are murdered every day in our world. Every day, 2,800, almost 3,000 babies are aborted every day in just the United States alone. About every 30 seconds, there's an abortion. There are 2,400 divorces every day in the United States of America. Every single day. That's every 36 seconds, there's a divorce. Guess there's some lawyers working on Sunday, too. That was a joke. Bad joke, sorry. Sorry if you got divorced. We'll move on. So what it means is that our world is broken. Our communities are broken. But we're going to find out today that God can also use communities to heal us and to restore us. This text today, this passage of the Bible we're going to read is very special to me. I talked about prison just a second ago. I used to work in the prison system for many years. I was a counselor in prison. I was a project manager in the prisons in the state of Tennessee. And I used to work in all the different prisons all throughout the state, the 16 prisons we have in this state. And one of my jobs was I was working with serious and high-risk offenders, people from 18 to 36 with serious crimes. Anything that you could think of, from murder to all kinds of different issues that these guys were in prison for. And my job was to help them transition out of prison. And while I was working in the prison system, I found Jesus Christ. At about the age of 23 years old, I found Christ, and I began to read the Bible, and I found this passage of Scripture, really this book of Philemon. And I started to read it, and this entire book is about restoration. It's about forgiveness. It's about reconciliation, and really it's like the Bible in one particular letter. We're going to go through this today, and as we start, we'll pick up in Philemon, but the first verse I wanted to read to you is one that's really the overall arching passage of Scripture for this series, is Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of His household." Today, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what things you have done wrong. The Bible says there was a point when you were strangers and foreigners, but when you come to Christ, you are no longer a stranger. You are a fellow citizen with God's people, and you are members of the household of God. This book that we're reading is actually a letter from the Apostle Paul in the Bible. Some of you guys might know that the Apostle Paul, he wrote several letters in the Bible. They're known as the book of Romans, the book of Colossians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Galatians, and several others that he wrote to congregations, really the church in these different cities. But what's very special about this particular book in the Bible is this: it was written by the Apostle Paul, but not to a congregation, but to one man, this man named Philemon. He was the pastor of the church in Colossae. He actually wrote two letters that were sent around the same time. One is the book of Colossians, and that was written to the church in that city. And he wrote another one, which was this letter, the book of Philemon. And we're going to read this letter. This is a very special book that we're going to be reading today. It's almost like Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail. It's kind of like if Nelson Mandela wrote a letter to an individual while he was in a South African prison. The impact of this letter is huge, and it really affects us today. We're going to see in just a little bit. Imagine if you were Catholic and the Pope wrote you personally a letter. Imagine how powerful that letter would be. See, at the time that he wrote this letter, the Apostle Paul, he had founded, he was known as the Apostle of the Gentiles. That means that every non-Jewish place where the gospel went, he was overseeing all of those churches. And at the time that he wrote this, he was in jail in Rome. He was beaten, he was punched, he was kicked, he was almost found dead one time, the Bible says. And now we find him in Rome, and he wrote this letter. We're going to start off by reading it, and we're going to find three things I wanted to point out. Three things we're going to find out in this letter today. God's people are in need of community. Somebody say amen. Amen. God's people need community. The second thing is, in community, you are accepted. You are accepted in community. And you are also expected to accept others and forgive others in community. Third thing we're going to see is that community can help you heal and restore you. You know, sometimes people don't like coming to church, and it's because they were hurt by church. Maybe you were hurt in the context of a church community. But I truly believe even if you were hurt in community, you can be healed in community. Somebody say amen to that. See, we're going to start off in first verse 1 in Philemon. It says that Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apra, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to stop there again. Paul makes it very clear that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, that sounds like a term of endearment, but it was not. He was stating his condition. He was being tortured in a Roman jail. These are the same type of Romans that put Jesus Christ on the cross and crucified him. This was not a daycare. This was a bad place to be if you were a person in first century Rome. And what he's trying to tell this guy, Philemon, is that I've been beat, I've been punched, I've been kicked, and I'm taking a break from all that to write you a letter. I hope you will take the time to read it. And it says in verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in the deepening of your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. There's a thing we need to know about the Apostle Paul is he knew how to, what's called, sandwich a conversation. If you guys have ever done that, sandwiching a conversation is when you say something really nice and then you hit them with the truth and then you sandwich it again at the end to make it nice. Now, many of you guys are going to find out that the Apostle Paul, he was a very good persuader. He shows his gift of persuasion in the midst of this, and it starts at verse 8. He says, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Basically, he's saying that as a result of me being apostle and you're being a pastor, I could command you to do what I'm about to tell you. But instead, I choose love. Listen to this. He said, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man now, also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Again, he's saying where he is. He's in jail. He's being beat. Now I have something to ask you. He said that I appeal to you for my son. This is important. Listen to the language he's using. My son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you. But now he has become both useful to you and to me. I want to stop there for a second and talk about this guy named Onesimus. We don't really talk a lot about him in churches. Matter of fact, his name only appears twice in the Bible, and there's not a whole lot we know about him. But one thing we do know about him is his name. And back then, names were very important. It told you a lot about the condition of a person. And we find out this guy's name actually means useful. But the problem with this guy is he was a servant. He was a slave in the house of Philemon. And we find out as we continue to read that he stole and robbed his master. And he left his master's home. He ran away from his house. And we find out that he ends up in Rome. Now, I want to give you an idea of where this is. I want a map pop up on the screen. Now, Colossae is where the book of Colossians, the letter to the church of Colossians was sent. That's where Philemon was. That's where Philemon is. Or that's where Onesimus is, and that's also where Philemon is. He left after he robbed his master and went all the way to Rome to get away from what he had done. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever done anything wrong, but if I stole somebody's lawnmower, for example, I might move on the other side of town, but I'm not going to Rome to get away from it. Think about the heinous nature of what this guy did. And the fact that he was willing to leave everything he knew, go all the way to Rome, and then do something wrong in Rome and get sent in a jail cell. It makes me remember that our God doesn't matter about our discomfort. Sometimes he will do whatever it takes to get our attention. Somebody say amen. Whether you're in a jail cell, whether you're in a divorce attorney's office, whether you're in a foxhole, our God will use every situation to get your attention. We find this guy in the middle of jail. And lo and behold, who happens to be there? The Apostle Paul, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is very simple. It's that God became a man in Jesus Christ. And he died on a cross for our sin, in our place. And he offers forgiveness to those who repent and believe the gospel. This guy, Onesimus, he heard the gospel. It transformed his life. And he began to follow this Jesus. And he was there where Paul began to treat him like a son in the faith. But we notice something about this guy, Onesimus. He didn't start off being the way we found him. His name is useful. That's what his word means. His name means useful. The day his mom and dad had him, the day his mother gave birth to him, they looked at their baby boy and they named him Onesimus. This boy is going to be useful to the world. I can pretty much imagine. I've held my own son in my arms, and I've had dreams for him. I had plans. I prayed destiny and life over him. How many parents ever did that before to your children? You believe God's going to do great things for your kids. But then something happened in his life. He began to commit crimes. He began to be anything but useful. And you can imagine the community that he was in rejected him. You know, I don't know about you, but for me in my life, there's been times where family has rejected me. They said, I'm not going to amount to anything. I'm not going to be able to do anything. All I'm going to do is sit around, get drunk, smoke weed, and I won't have anything in my life that amounts to anything. And that was family. Maybe you're not in that situation, but I'm sure there's been times where somebody didn't believe in you. Somebody say amen if that's you. People rejected you. And you can imagine how that felt. That's how Onesimus must have felt, that there was so much promise over his life. And now he finds himself rejected and far away from home. We're going to continue reading. We're over in verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me, so that he could take your place and help me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but voluntary. I love the Apostle Paul. He said, I could tell you to do what I wanted you to do, but instead I'm going to wait for you to volunteer to do what I want you to do. See, some people might think that's manipulation, but manipulation is bad. That's called persuasion. We did that at church. You guys would be gone quick. We said, you know what? I'm not going to ask you to volunteer for children's ministry. I'm just going to wait for you to decide on your own. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it? But he had the authority. He had the position to demand this to this pastor. But he says in verse 14, I did not want to do it without your consent. In verse 15, we're going to pick up. It says, perhaps the reason why he, Onesimus, was separated from you for a little while was that he might, that you might have him back forever. Now, I've thought about that particular verse for a while. Maybe there's people that have been separated from your life, especially if you're a parent and you've had children that have been estranged. The relationship was tested and it felt like they were far away from you. Maybe it's because God was trying to get their attention during that time so that eventually they could be with you forever. Maybe in a marriage, seems like the two spouses are drifting further and further apart. Maybe there's been a separation. But you know what? Maybe God was using that to get their attention. Maybe hard times hit your relationship for a reason, so that God could strengthen it and you could be together forever. Somebody say amen. We believe that God can fully restore every situation here. In verse 16, it says, no longer as a slave. This is what I love about God. He changes our status. It says, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. I want you to see the loving nature of our God. We start off as a slave, and we can end up as a brother. He said, he is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as you follow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, he says, welcome him as you would welcome me. The thing that I wondered about as I read this letter is, why would the Apostle Paul write this letter if it was not necessary? He was beaten, he was in chains, and he took time out to write this letter. That tells me a lot about the human heart. What it says is normally and naturally, when people do us wrong, we don't want to have anything to do with them, do we? When somebody hurts us, when they stab us in the back, when they say bad things about us to other people, our natural response is to push them away. It's kind of like when Pastor Lance borrowed my lawnmower and broke it and put it in the yard sale this weekend. True story. Naturally, I wanted to push away from Pastor Lance. But apparently, according to the Word of God, he is a dear brother in the Lord. So I reckon I have to treat him like that. But it's not natural for us to do that. See, this letter that the Apostle Paul sent really hits two different people. It really addresses those that have been rejected, those whose society and family and others have swept under the rug and pushed aside because of the wrong that they've done. But it also addresses those in the church. And remember, Philemon was a pastor. And the Apostle Paul had to write to a pastor and beg him to forgive this man for doing him wrong. And it's really on the onus of us inside the church to accept and to bring in those that have been rejected, the outcasts, those that nobody else wants, those that have done us wrong. Who else is going to do that? Who else is going to show them the love and the acceptance of God except the church? And it doesn't matter what you've done. If you've been a murderer, if you've been someone who gossips from one end of town to the other town, if you were a former homosexual, if you come in this building, you receive Jesus wherever you've been, wherever you're from, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you are a brother and sister in Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. When you turn to the Lord, your status has changed. Now, the hard part about that is that our hearts have to be dealt with. See, what the Apostle Paul was doing, he was standing in the gap of a broken relationship. And he begins to do the dirty work of reconciliation. Now imagine if every man and woman that calls themselves a follower of Christ stood in the gap from someone who was kicked out of church, stood in the gap from someone who never thought God would love them or accept them. Matter of fact, there was a research poll. And they polled all these people, and they found out that out of all the people that don't go to church, one-third of people don't go to church because they have been hurt by the church. Now, we have roughly over 130,000 people in Clarksville. That's a lot of people who have been hurt by the church. But I believe the church can help restore them. Somebody say amen to that. How many know somebody's been hurt by the church? Wouldn't step inside of a church, because church people have done them wrong. It is our job. It is our job to link arms with them and say, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's been done to you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. We're going to receive you and love you, and you're going to be accepted. Somebody say amen to that. We see that all in this particular letter. Apostle Paul wrote it because it's natural for us to reject people. In verse 18, it says, if he had done you any wrong or owes you anything, he's talking about Onesimus, for stealing from him. He says, if he has done anything wrong, and if he owes you anything, charge it to me. Charge it to me. Verse 19 says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I love the Apostle Paul. He says, look, I'm not going to ask you what to do. I'm going to wait for you to volunteer. And by the way, if he owes anything, charge it to me. But by the way, you owe me your soul because I preached the gospel and it got to you. I love the way he talks. He says, you owe me your very soul. He's talking to him very candidly because he's not just saying that to Philemon. You could easily change the name of this book and put your name there. God himself wants you to get this. This is not just a letter to a pastor 2,000 years ago. This is a letter for us today. It's going to challenge our hearts, the way we see people and the way people see us. And you're going to be challenged. Are you going to be someone who reconciles with those who have hurt you? Those who need the love of Jesus Christ? And someone needs to stand in the gap for them and tell them what the gospel is and to love them to a relationship with God? In verse 20 says, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confidence of your obedience. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more. I love him. He's going for even more. I love the way Apostle Paul writes letters. He asks him to reconcile with this guy. And he says, one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends you greetings. Just a little side note, the Apostle Paul never even went to the city of Colossae. The church in the Colossian church is actually a church plant. That means that someone else started the church from Ephesus. And as a result of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, someone went to that city and planted a church, preached the gospel, and a church grew up there. And his name was Epaphras, who went there. He says, also does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And you just read a whole book of the Bible. How cool is that? You know, the thing about this book that I really love is because of the things that the Apostle Paul went through. If some of you guys don't remember, he was rejected by the entire Christian community. There was a time when he used to kill Christians. And then on a road that led to Damascus, he saw Jesus Christ and he gave his life over to Christ. But people didn't receive him. People didn't want to accept the fact that this guy had changed his life over. And over a period of time, they realized that this is of God. But he knew exactly the rejection that Onesimus was going through. And maybe that's something that we need to do. You know, my wife told me the other day that while I was gone, my little girls got into a little fight. And one of my little girls said, you have to forgive me. And the other little girl said, why? A little girl, my daughter. The other daughter said, why? She said, well, Daddy said, if you don't forgive me, God won't forgive you. I was like, go ahead, preach, Daddy. So they're getting it finally. But how true is that? It's scary but true. We have to remember how much we have been forgiven. Think about the dirtiest, nasty deeds you used to do back in the day. How far you were away from God. How dark your life was. And then you met Jesus Christ, who offered you grace and mercy. We cannot forget from where we've come from, because there are people just in as much darkness as we used to be. And we have to have compassion on them and remember that God showed us so much grace. I tell you, I grew up almost every Sunday going to church, and I heard the gospel probably 1,000 times, and I rejected God's word again and again and again. But for whatever reason, God continued to show me grace and mercy and compassion. And everybody outside of these walls, everybody who still needs Christ, they deserve the same amount of grace, the same amount of mercy. Somebody say amen to that. Now, I said today that we're going to look at three things: community of God's people. God's people need community. The second thing was, in community, you are accepted. And the third thing is, community can help you heal and be restored. I was looking at a commentary from an old theologian named Matthew Henry about this book. He said, "We too are like Onesimus, were revolters from God's service and had injured him in his rights. Jesus Christ finds us and by his grace works a change in us. Then he intercedes for us with the Father that we may be received into his favor and his family." And we saw a language that the Apostle Paul used, that he called Onesimus his son. Well, I told you we only had two places where Onesimus was found. The other one was in Colossians. It's in Colossians chapter 4, verse 9. It talks about someone is coming to bring this letter. And it says, "He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here." The great thing about that verse, as I close, is really special. The Apostle Paul sent two letters about the same time. One to the city of Colossae, the book of Colossians, but also this individual letter to Philemon. And he addresses the heart of one individual in this letter, Philemon. He deals with the heart of a pastor who needed to be corrected in his views towards somebody that had done him wrong. But then he sends this other letter to the entire congregation. What that says is that Paul dealt with the problem privately, but he proclaims restoration publicly. And that's what our God does for us. Personally, he deals with all of our problems and our issues. Everything that has separated you from God, all the times you made mistakes and you knew it was contrary to God, maybe you didn't even know the Bible, but in your heart you knew it was wrong. God doesn't want to put all your sin on display. But what happens is the Holy Spirit comes to you. And he begins to knock on your heart. And he reminds you of God's love and how much grace is available to you if you'll only repent and believe the gospel. That this God loves you so much, he would send his only son to the most excruciating death you can imagine. His son Jesus. See, Christ wants to restore you publicly. Doesn't matter how messed up your family's been, how jacked up your work situation is. It doesn't really matter. God can restore you. And he wants to deal with your heart personally. I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you so much.